Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Okay, I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts. I want to be reading from the 13th. Hey, thanks. Hey, by the way. This probably has a shelf life of about 10,000 years. The nuclear bomb blew off. There's enough preservatives in this, so stockpile a few of these in your garage. And by the way, Pirate's Booty is excellent stuff. Just a little encouragement, amen? A little seed that we're planting there. Amen. Okay, and like I said, you can take that as an encouragement, not as a command or demand. I'm not doing that. If you don't want to do it, you just do what you want to do. But when you're hungry and I got 50 pounds of beans and you come to my house, that's what you're going to get to eat. Beans. Anyway, my point being is, look around you. You know, Jesus said, when you look at the fig tree and it starts to blossom, you know, it's not going to be too long until there's going to be figs there. Well, if you look at what's happening in this world and in this country, it's not going to be long. You're going to be there and you're going to need a few things to prepare for yourself and your family. I didn't want to set forth a panic. I'm just giving you some smart advice to get some things together. But now in the book of Acts, something completely different. Because here's what I believe. All these things happening that we just mentioned off camera, with these things happening, I still believe God's in control. I think Jesus is still Jesus, and he's still the Savior, and he still saves people. Did you know that? He fills them with his Spirit. He loves them, and everything that comes against us, it makes no difference, because to be absent from this old body is to be present with the Lord. If you've trusted in that, if you've believed in that, that will actually be a reality in your life at some point. But in the book of Acts, I want to address something, because I want to talk to you today about when God calls and how to respond and how to be prepared when God calls. In the 13th chapter, beginning in the first verse, Luke writes this concerning the ministry of the Apostle Paul and what was happening this time. And I'll give you a little background as I finish sharing some of this. But in the first three verses, I want to read a little bit for you. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch, and that's very important. The church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers. By the way, just a sideline. If you're a prophet, you're not a godly prophet, a genuine prophet, unless you are accurate how many times? Every time. 100% of the time. Teachers, you're not a teacher of the gospel unless you're teaching the gospel. You follow what I'm saying? You got all kinds of teachers, you got all kinds of philosophers, you got all kinds of influences, but he's talking about people that are influencing for Jesus Christ. Okay, so there's prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and there was also Saul there. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, let me pause for a second and ask you a question, a personal question. Has the Holy Ghost ever said anything to you? Just slip your hand up. And let me ask you this. Those of you that already know for certain that he has, those of you that were not certain, have you ever had an inspiring thought while you were reading the Bible, and suddenly you felt, you know, like you understood that scripture, and it felt like you, that what you had not known just kind of leaped off the page, and what you were studying made all the kind of sense in the world? Have you ever had that experience? Those of you that did not raise your hand earlier, okay, those of you that weren't sure, that's the Holy Ghost speaking to you. And another way the Holy Ghost speaks to you is sometimes he speaks into your head, and this thought will come here, and it'll sound just like in your mind, I don't have to, this maybe not the best way to describe it. But in your mind, it sounds like you talking, thinking. You think in your own voice. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? That's not you. That's the Holy Ghost. If it's an inspired out of the Word of God, that's the Holy Ghost speaking to you. He just happens to be using your intuitive powers to get the message across to you. He speaks in lots of ways, but he does speak to us. But he don't speak to people who don't want him to. Keep that in mind also. The Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. You know, we talk about calling and we demonstrate it probably in ministry, what calling is. And we talk about the anointing, we talk about all these things. But I want to talk about when God calls. And when they had fasted and prayed, these people starved themselves a bit, but that's good. Fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, this is an awesome portion of scripture. If you are wrestling with yourself about being more faithful to God, wrestling with yourself about doing more things for God, wrestling with yourself about the call of God, you know God has called you. Let me set a couple of parameters down for this discussion this morning, and that is this. Everyone that has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior has a calling on their lives. Listen to me. I can go through this scripture and show you all kinds of situations and examples of how God is telling you that the church, I'm reading out of the book of Acts, which is really how the Holy Spirit grew the church, developed the church, empowered the church, even built a satellite church down in Antioch. And that's where Saul was at. It almost became another headquarters, Jerusalem and Antioch, because of the concentration of as many Christians that there were in Antioch. And they list the teachers and the prophets here for us, Luke does, but that's not all of them, but this church was an interesting church. And one of the things that's important to understand is that when the Holy Spirit begins to build a church and to transform people and he calls them to whatever work he wants to do, you got to realize that that is a legitimate call of God in your life. Some of you are called to be teachers at a school. Some of you are called to be moms. Some of you are called to be Sunday school teachers or kids' church teachers or women's ministry leaders. All kinds of ministries exist. In fact, you could create a ministry for everybody that's in here. Everybody that's here this morning could have... Why do I say that? Well, because every one of you have interests. Every one of you have a personality. Every one of you is an individual. And every one of you that know Jesus Christ has had God working on those areas of your life so that he might utilize you for the greater glory of his kingdom. What happens to us as Christians so many times that side rails us is that we get caught up with what's going on in our lives and we allow that to disqualify us in our minds, if not before the Lord, disqualify us for ministry. Because we get so caught up with the things of life, and then you begin to think, well, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I'm not qualified, I'm not able, I can't do all of these things. And those are just simply excuses. Because every one of us has had God, if you've been born again, let alone being filled with His Spirit, but if you've been born again, God has laid His hand upon you, and there is an actual calling that He places on your life. And what does that calling consist of? Well, it may be called to be a missionary to Africa or a pastor of a church. That may be true. But most often and most frequently, God calls people to be who they are, but to be good, godly people right where they are. But then He begins to develop them right where they are so that He can use them right where they are, capacities that He desires. I want you to understand something. This is a period of time in the change of the Apostle Paul's life happened over a period of 3 or 4 years. And during that period of time, he had established himself, obviously, as now a completely devoted Christian. Now, you remember the Jews were all afraid of him when he first became a convert because they thought, this is a guy that's killing Christians. He's putting them in jail. He's getting them excommunicated from the church. Everybody's going to hell. Because the Apostle Paul's arresting everybody. Now he becomes a devoted Christian, so people were unsure of him. So it's probably better that he didn't go back to Jerusalem. You know what I mean? In fact, it's probably better that once you're born again, you don't go back home. Sometimes it's safer that way. I don't know about you, how you live, but it's safer for me in some areas of my hometown not to go there anymore. Well, maybe there's enough years past now that the generations have come and they've forgotten my antics. Hopefully, I've outlived those things. But Antioch is an interesting place because this is where the concentration of Gentile Christians was at. The Christians in Jerusalem, you know, Peter and Paul, Peter and James and John and all the boys in Jerusalem, that's where the concentration of Jewish Christians were. But down in Antioch is where all the Gentile Christians were. You remember when they sent down a group of people from Jerusalem to check out what was happening down in Antioch? Have you read that yet? Or how many of you have not read the book? Read the book of Acts if you get a chance. It's a good book. And it'll tell you some of these things that I'm telling you. And they sent down a group of guys to check out and see if these guys were doing it right down in Antioch. So they went down there, checked it out. The Holy Ghost had fallen on them, just like he fell on them at Jerusalem in the upper room. They saw the evidence of it. They saw the power of it. They saw the demonstration of God's Spirit moving on man. It's the same way that it happened on the day of Pentecost up in Jerusalem. And so they said, okay, well, then you guys don't have to do all these other things we do because we're Jews. You just do these three things. Keep yourself moral. Don't eat things offered to gods and so on. Idols and so forth. So down in Antioch, it's actually really appropriate. Have you ever noticed how the Holy Spirit does the right thing at the right time for the right purpose with the right people? Amen. Think about this. In Antioch, who would be best qualified to go out into the Gentile world and win and take the gospel to Gentiles than this church down in Antioch that's filled with Gentile Christians? Now, Paul is an exception, and a couple of others. There's a couple other Jewish boys here. But the others are Gentile people. And what's really kind of interesting about this is that God does this in every church he grows. Every church, our church, any church he grows, he does this very same thing. The Holy Ghost begins to speak to people. Why is it that God has chosen the preaching of the gospel to be one of the main means of winning people to Jesus Christ and eternal life? Why? Why? Why wouldn't it be better just to make one DVD and just send it to everybody? Huh? No, the best messenger is those who have been delivered by Jesus Christ. The best message is the one preached by people who have been delivered. How do you reach people that need deliverance? Well, I've been delivered myself, and this is how I was delivered. Jesus Christ came into my life, and so he equips me through my life experiences to be used for the kingdom of God and to bring honor to the name of Jesus Christ. Every soul that is born again, God is so excited about that person. God is so thrilled with that person making that decision that he throws a party in heaven, and all the angels rejoice. It's just awesome when a single sinner comes to Jesus Christ. Yet he chooses those very same people to be the light, the testimony, the conduit through which he gets the gospel message to other people. And while the church is developing and growing and winning other people, smartens the church up, equips the church, educates the church, encourages the church in the Word of God and the ways of God. I don't know about you, but I like it when God teaches me about his ways. And I like it when I obey him and do things the way he wants me to do them. I love the benefits and the blessings that comes from knowing Jesus Christ that way. It's awesome. Who better than those that were Gentile from that area? Obviously, the scripture tells us that he had great human resources here. These men were educated men. These men were men that were well versed in the Old Testament, because you got to realize the New Testament hadn't been written. So they were serving off the Old Testament before the New Testament was written and circulated. So these men were highly, I don't know if you know about Jewish education, but it is an extreme education in the Scripture. So many of these men were deeply educated in the Word of God. They were established men. They were established. The Scripture lists them by name for a reason. You know, when Jesus ministered to people and their names were listed in the Gospels, why do you suppose that is? It's because what God did to that person went on to be a reputable Christian person. That's why they were mentioned by name. These men are mentioned by name because they had established themselves as godly men, godly prophets, godly teachers. Because in the same scripture that I'm reading for you, you're going to encounter men who claim to be prophets that are not prophets of God. There's all kinds of prophets. You can open up your newspaper every morning, and there's a prophet with all these little signs of scorpions. And are you still with me? Okay. Scorpions and all kinds of things. And they're prophesying to you. All of them false prophets. The only way that those things could possibly happen is if they planted that suggestion in your mind when you read it and you went around living yourself that day in a way for that to come to pass. And then, of course, the devil could get involved and help you there too. But they're false prophets. And you start trusting in things that mean nothing. So these men were established. They were reputable. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were anointed by the Holy Ghost. And here's something else that they had that you may not recognize. But they had a strategy. You may not always understand this, but we really do have a strategy in this church. It may look like our strategy is nothing but chaos and disorganization and shooting from the hip, but John Wayne got through life pretty well that way, so I think we're going to make it. But our strategy is to get enough of the Word of God in you that it helps you develop relationships with other people based on what Christ has done for you. And all of a sudden you become a called person and you are being used by Jesus Christ. How awesome is that? We got a school here because we want to teach young people, not only educate them, but we want to have a godly influence. We want them to study the Scripture. They can't do that in an ordinary school. I mean, they can do it on their own, but as far as teaching and having subjects that relate to the Scripture, only in Christian schools are you going to find that. And that's what we want. We're a church. We're supposed to be educating people in the Word of God, aren't we? And so we do that. Eventually, we'll have a satellite campus here for our college so you can get college degrees from this location. Hey, come on, man. We've got a big vision here. We've got a big idea here. Part of it has to do with growing you and keeping you safe and keeping you equipped and keeping you on course with Jesus Christ. We have a strategy. I believe that our strategy is that if we can preach the pure, rich, real Word of God about Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, then we're going to give you enough equipment and education that you can live life successfully and powerfully for the benefit and the glory of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Did I say that right? Give God a praise for that. And so what's interesting about this is that these men were in a position and a place and were qualified, well qualified for the vision that God had called them out. The Holy Ghost said, separate these men. Separate. I want these two guys. I got a mission. I got a job for them. And so they separated. They prayed for them. They fasted. Then they sent them. Well, they were first sent by the Holy Spirit and second sent by the church. Now, that may not mean a whole lot of you because you're not a missionary. You're not heading out over here to evangelize some area of the world and to tell them about the gospel. That may not bother you. That may not be what God wants to use you for. But you still must have a vision for your own personal life as well as a vision for the collective church. Where are we going? What are we doing? We got to have a strategy. We got to have a vision. And God needs to be the one that calls that vision into being. Calls that vision. Place that vision in the hearts and lives of people. If you don't have a vision, you are merely running in circles. And frankly, if you were water, you would be stagnant. How many of you have ever been stagnant in your spiritual walk? I have. Yeah, I'm honest with you. There are times when I've walked for Christ where my only thing in my mind is I'm serving God because I love Him. I know what's ahead of me, but I'm not real thrilled about where I'm at. And a lot of things suffer when that happens. Everybody goes through it to some degree, but I want to tell you something. If God calls, it'd be real sharp if you'd stop worrying about how qualified you are and realize that God is equipping you and qualifying you. In every life experience that you're experiencing, I don't care how old you are, every life experience you are experiencing is part of your qualifying education. Hello? Did you know that your personal trials and your personal difficulties and your personal struggles, even that time of stagnation, is part of your educational and equipping process? God has in mind something for you. The Holy Ghost will call you someday, one way or the other. And He'll let you know that now is the time, now is the place that I want you separated for this particular work. Now don't be afraid of that, because it will always match who you are. Isn't that interesting? God doesn't call people to Africa that don't have a passion for Africa. God doesn't call people to be a pastor of a bunch of wild cats if they don't have a passion for wild cats. You follow what I'm saying? He tailor makes your ministry. Let me tell you something. The Apostle Paul, just using him as an example, because he's one of the ones that are being sent out. Think about this. Here's a guy that has no problem being a public speaker, has no problem challenging the authorities to get the gospel across, has no problem going into any setting, whether it's a synagogue or whether it's just out on the street. He has no problem in any one of those settings matching his intelligence, his wit, his understanding, and his biblical and Christian experience, matching that with anybody that he comes in contact with. Read the book of Acts. See what happens. He can be out on an island right after a shipwreck and he's getting the gospel across. He can be standing at a courtroom with a king and he's getting the gospel across. Let me tell you what. That's the kind of guy that needs to be out as a missionary. Because that's who he is. And what are you? Well, I'm not a missionary. Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying when God calls, he's already been equipping you. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. The Bible says that the call of God is without repentance. Do you know what that means? That means once God calls you, you're called. Now, you can be a rank, low-life Christian and bail out on him. You do not have to do what God calls you to do. Does that I hope it doesn't disappoint you, but it'll make you realize that everything is up to your choice. You choose whether to accept the call of God in your life or not. But the call is there. Are you hearing me? So when God calls, he never takes the calling away from you. You may disqualify yourself. You may think, I'm not smart enough. I may not know all the facts. You may think of yourself as not being qualified. And God, here's the interesting thing about when you become a Christian. God considers you qualified. Oh, not perfectly educated, not done with you, not completed. He's still working a work in your life. But if God calls you, he considers you capable of fulfilling the call. I don't know what that meant, but that was pretty good. Hey, let me read something for you here. Because I think education is an important thing. I think knowledge is an important thing. I think one of the things that God does is inspire us. But when God calls, there's some real important things you need to understand. You need to equip yourself, too. You need to smarten yourself up a little bit, too. Amen? Just because you own a Bible does not mean you know the Bible. Amen? And just because you own a Bible, it's not like a Stanley tape. You know what a Stanley tape is? Probably one of the best tapes there is. You know, I think Stanley's the best tape. You know, I like those big wide ones with the big numbers, not more and more as the years go by. I like those. But having a Bible is not like having a Stanley tape. See, if you buy a Stanley tape, you're instantly a contractor. You know what I mean? I've worked for contractors that owned a Stanley tape, and that's what they thought. They didn't know anything about construction, but they owned a Stanley tape, and they had it on their side, and they had their notebook. Didn't know a stinking thing about construction, but because they had a Stanley tape, they were proven to me they were a contractor. It is kind of like that. Owning the Bible, and owning a big Bible. You ever see those guys on the street? They don't have little pocket Bibles to share with you like the Gideons. They got those big family Bibles they haul around. You know what I'm talking about? So you know what they're carrying. They're carrying the big volume of the Bible. Well, just because they've got that doesn't mean they know it. You follow what I'm saying? And I'm going to prove that by reading this to you. Bear with me. I'm never going to get done with this message. There was a guy being interviewed. Maybe some of you have heard this already. There's a guy being interviewed because he wanted to get into the ministry. And so the team of bishops or district superintendents sat around him. And one of them said to him, well, Sam, will you tell us the parable of the Good Samaritan? He said, yes, sir, I will, sir. Once there was this man traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he fell among some thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked him. And as he went, he didn't have any money, so he met the Queen of Sheba, And she gave him 1,000 talents of gold and 100 changes of raiment. And he got into his chariot and drove furiously. And when he was driving under a big juniper tree, his hair got caught in the tree on the limb of that tree, and he hung there many days. And the ravens brought him food to eat and water to drink. And he ate 5,000 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And one night, he was hanging there asleep. His wife Delilah came along and cut off his hair, and he dropped and fell onto stony ground. But he got up and he went on, and it began to rain, and it rained 40 days and 40 nights. And he hid himself in a cave, and he lived on locusts and wild honey. Then he went on till he met a servant who said, "Come and take supper at my house." And he made an excuse and said, "No, I won't. I've married a wife and I can't go." And the servant went out into the highways and the hedges and compelled him to come in. After supper, he went on and came on down to Jericho. When he got there, he looked up and he saw the old queen Jezebel sitting way up high in a window. She laughed at him and he said, "Throw her down from there." And they threw her down. And he said, "Throw her down again." And they threw her down 70 times 7. And of the fragments that remained, they picked up 12 basketfuls besides the women and children. And they said, "Blessed are the pieces," or "Blessed are the peacemakers," P-I-E-C-E, peacemakers. "Now whose wife do you think she'll be on that judgment day?" You see, you can own a Bible, but you may not know, or you may know some, thank you. You may know some facts, but they may not all be in the right order, and you might not know a thing you're talking about. So it's not just the education. There is something that is powerful here. These men were well equipped, but the difference was not just what they knew. It was the anointing that came with the call of God. It was the power of the Holy Ghost. It was the power of the Spirit of God that ignited what they had learned and what they had educated themselves with. So we need to do something to prepare ourselves as well. It's not just absorbed. You know, you don't just lay your head on your Bible and suddenly it just sucks up into your brain. You got to know what the Scripture says and what it teaches. So, it can be accomplished a lot of ways. God can actually call you in lots of ways that you've already experienced. In fact, some of you experience these things, don't even realize it's God. He can inspire you, which means God speaking to you. He can motivate you, which means God speaking to your gifts and motivating you with your gifts. He can actually speak verbally to you or intuitively to you. You can also speak to you through someone else who might be an instructor for you. And he might also just be because of your personality and your equipment and your preparation, he may speak to you by the cause that he calls you to. There are lots of ways in which God speaks to you, but seldom does God ever speak to you in specifics. Why? He knows you're too smart for that. God does not tell you the end goal because he knows you won't go. Why? Because you know what it's going to cost. You're not dumb. You know what it's going to cost you to go there. And that's why God always calls us and begins the preparation process before he ever gives us the full details of where he's taking us. Why? Because he knows you won't go. But he will reveal things to you step by step, incrementally. And the final goal will sometimes be accomplished before you realized you've gotten there. The call never changes. The specifics may change, but the call never changes. Circumstances may change. The locale may change, but the call never changes. You may change. You may disqualify yourself, but the call is still the same. Usability may change. Credibility may change, but the call never changes. I find that very interesting. And when God calls, I mentioned a moment ago, but I just want to reemphasize this. When he does call, he feels you're capable, even though you may be in a raw material stage, he feels you're capable of accomplishing what he is calling you to. He feels that you're leadable. He feels that you're equipable, trainable, usable. And one of the great things about God is He's got confidence in you when you don't have confidence in yourself. That's called the anointing of God. That's called the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's called filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, here's some things that you need to lose, and I'm going to try to bring this to an end with some of these last points, but I want you to understand something about God's call. It's not oppressive. In fact, it begins with the encounter with Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but my born-again experience was the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my entire life. Probably the greatest thing that ever happened to this world, because who knows what kind of a gangster I would have been if I would not have become a Christian. So the world was probably spared a lot of problems because I became a Christian. But it is the greatest thing that has ever happened because it turned my life completely around. But when God calls you, you must have that experience. God doesn't call people who are not born again. That's why I'm always concerned, and I always kind of chuckle to myself, men that go through religious education and religious schooling and get doctorates in religion that have never had a born-again experience. Do you know those people exist? They pastor churches today. They pastor churches today, and all they teach is a social gospel. How you can better yourself, or by positive thinking, or social interaction, or personal conformity to rules or regulations, that you will improve your lot in life. I often wonder, how in the world can you teach about God when you never encounter God? How can you tell other people about God and His goodness and His benefits and His blessings if you have not come to a believing experience in Jesus Christ? You have never received the grace of God. How can you share anything else but psychological points of view? You have nothing else. If you have not been born again, you're not qualified to talk about being born again. Or you can talk about religion. There are men that teach religion, and of every kind. You can go to classes and learn of all kinds of religions. But never do they talk to you about a born-again experience with Jesus Christ, an encounter with Him. So you must have an encounter with God, or He don't call you. Then that's not even enough. You need to have an ongoing relationship. Being born again is one thing, but you got to keep it going. The other thing that this scripture teaches us is that we need to be sent by divine command. God has to send us. We do more harm going under our own good intentions in 5 minutes. We can do more harm. That's why we must be equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit. I think something else you need to have if you're called of God, and or when He calls, you need to be prepared to develop in your life. That's a vision and a goal and a ministry. Preferably a ministry or a vision that is an impossible one. Why do I say that? Hey, look, I can go pastor a church anywhere in the United States or in the world for the Church of God. I can go anywhere. Wherever they need a pastor, I can qualify. I've been a pastor long enough. I can go and put my name in and maybe be voted in or appointed as the pastor of that church. Anywhere. But does that church's vision match my vision? My vision is, and my belief in visions is, that it should be an impossible vision. You know what happens to a lot of churches? They lose that vision and they become an institution. One thing about churches that have become institutions, guess what? God don't go to those churches. Oh, He may be knocking on the door saying, hey, let me in. But He doesn't attend places where He's really not talked about. Not welcomed. Where there's no vision. Where the impossible could never take place because nobody believes in the impossible. If you're going to develop a ministry and God calls you, you need to prepare yourself to have a vision that is an impossible vision. How do you help a person that needs delivered from demons if you don't believe the impossible? That God can cast those demons out. And that in Jesus' name you can command them to leave. That's, to everybody else, that's impossible. There's insane asylums filled with demon-possessed people. Did you know they used to, in the old days, call preachers in to deliver them? They don't do it today. It's not politically correct. We don't want to have any connection with churches. Preferably, your vision will be an impossible one. Last couple of things. You must believe in God as a God of the impossible. If you can do it, what do you need God for? Hello? So you must believe that God can do the impossible, because I'm going to tell you something about your life. Whether you answer the call, whether you do what God wants you to do, whether you do any of those things, there are going to be things happening in your life that are impossible for you to do. And if you don't believe in a God that can do the impossible will never be taken care of. What do guys preach that don't preach a God of the impossible? A God of miracles, a God of power, a God of transforming power. What do you preach? You just want to read off the facts, the names and the places and the facts about what Paul did? No, I want to do what Paul did. I want to see the power of God change what is impossible into something that we just ordinarily accept. Well, yeah, God did a miracle. He does the impossible amongst us all the time. I want our lifestyle to be one that proves God is a God that does the impossible. Amen. Give God a hand. So you've got to believe in the God of the impossible, because what do you preach other than that? Then the last thing is, as I've warned this church many times, and you know, I'm probably the one that is the perpetrator of the biggest problem, because I shoot my mouth off about the devil. I shoot my mouth off about what I think is right and wrong. And inevitably, one thing you should be prepared for as a Christian is that if you open your big mouth and say something about Jesus Christ, the devil is going to stick his foot in your mouth. Conflict. He is going to have conflict. It's an instant battle between you and the devil. And the first thing he's going to want you to do is stop believing in a God that can do the impossible. Why? Well, because his foot's in my mouth. God can't get this out. This devil has got his foot in my mouth. Well, if you're not prepared for opposition, you need to not be a Christian. In fact, just let me tell you, don't become a Christian if you're not ready for conflict and warfare and a battle. Because the devil doesn't want you influencing his people. It's like he didn't want anybody influencing you when you were his people. God has always told us, hey, there's nothing impossible for me. Put your trust in me. And that which seems to be impossible will become reality. In fact, you'll be living a lifestyle of the impossible. Maybe not the lifestyle of the rich and famous, but you'll be living the lifestyle of the impossible. When every day God does something impossible in your life, an obstacle, a conflict, opposition of any kind, he's able to help you overcome it by the power and by the things that he's done in your life to equip you and ready you for that particular opposition. Why does it surprise us that if we do what God wants us to do, that there is conflict? Why does that surprise us? It's in the scripture everywhere. I'm kind of thinking that most of those old disciples opened their big old mouths, and all but one was martyred. You know, that's not real good PR for preaching. You know what I mean? Hey, oh yeah, the greats of the church, oh, they were awesome. The Apostle Paul, head cut off. A good preacher. Yeah, you are. Come on, be a Christian. Because somebody's going to cut your head off. No, that's not good PR, trust me. Trust me, that's not the best message that we want to preach. Hey, come on and be a Christian, because you're going to have conflict. You're going to have troubles. But let me tell you something. One awesome thing about God is that when he calls you, he prepares you and he equips you to handle conflict. So that what happens to you is filtered first through Jesus Christ. Now, compare and contrast that with what happens out in the world when they have nothing to filter what's happening in their lives. Amen? So what am I saying? I should have a phone up here. God's calling. And you need to answer. But here's the great thing about the call of God. God does not call unless He will equip. God does not call unless He will empower. God does not call unless He will commission or lay His hands on you. God doesn't call unless He teams with you. God does not call unless He will help you complete the mission He calls you to. Give God a hand for that. That's just awesome. Praise the Lord. Let's stand, shall we? Praise the Lord. You know, we have another great privilege next week to have a great message on and sharing of mission works and outreach works. See, you know, frankly, there's enough missions work right here in this lower valley. We'd never have to leave this valley to do any mission work. And so you begin to evaluate that. Is it good to put your bucks or your emphasis on reaching out to other countries, other peoples, other needs, other issues to get the gospel out? I think that God calls us to a very balanced view of that. Me, anyway. Sure, we could focus on the immediate and close by geographically mission needs. And we do, and we will, and we've continued to. I've been in this church almost 23 years, and almost 23 years we have supported First Love Ministry and Teen Challenge in Seattle. For almost 23, in August we will have supported them. Not a large amount of money, but consistently every month that money's been there for almost 23 years. I believe in local missions field. But equally, I think God calls us to reach out, to send a spark, to reach out in world missions. I don't think one supersedes the other. I think we're called to do both. In fact, the vision we've had in this church is that we want to make an impact in the world, our local world, our national world, our world, international world. We want to have an impact. We want to make a difference. We want them to have heard that we're alive and well on planet Earth. And so we have systematically, strategically, and by opportunity that God has presented to us, supported all of that, local and foreign missions. Don't you consider that pretty awesome? What would be wrong is if we emphasize one over the other or one more than the other. Because scripturally, we're called to do both. At the same time, equipping and encouraging one another in the calling that God has on each other's lives. Ben, I don't know about you, but my guess is that there's a few times while you've been out there painting or working, you've had an opportunity to share your faith. I would call you a missionary. Missionaries are painters. I don't know. Give him a title if he needs it. But my point is, it doesn't matter where you're at, what you're doing, if you're fulfilling the calling, we're in balance. We're balanced. So that locally, internationally, we're getting the message of the gospel. Because, frankly, Ben, I don't mean to just use you as an example, but frankly, Ben, there's people that you're going to reach that nobody else in this church, nobody else in this church is going to be able to reach but you. Why? Because the Holy Ghost called you out for a mission that He has. He's laid His hand on you for that mission. The same is true for every one of you. The saddest thing that happens amongst Christians is that we come to a place where we think we're unqualified or not usable by God, not capable, not educated enough, not prepared enough. You know what? The one thing that these people had in common with every miracle in the Bible, somebody went out and did something. Somebody did something. I don't know about you, but If Jesus is coming as rapidly as we think he's coming, we might want to get busy. Two things, maybe more. Encouraging each other in the faith. Hang in there, man. Hang in there. Hold on. God's coming. God's coming. He's going to rescue. He's going to deliver. He's going to help you. How many of you just raise your hand and say, God has helped me the last week or 2 weeks or month or year? God has helped us. If you wouldn't have held on, would he been able to rescue? No, you would have quit too soon. God's calling. Just waiting for you to pick up the other line. Oh, I'm sorry, your blueberry or greenberry or whatever it is. That's just too complicated for me. First, the spelling part was the bad part. I couldn't spell it right. But I guess what I'm encouraging you to do is, I'm always encouraging evangelism, but I guess I'm encouraging you to step up to your calling. Don't worry about it. Step out. Take the step and do something. You can't heal the sick unless you go to where the sick are. You know, not everybody that comes to our church is sick, needs healing. It wouldn't be bad if wherever you work or wherever you go, you start honing your skill on getting the conversation to turn to an opportunity for you to slip the gospel in. You know, it's easy to do. It's easy to do. I'm on the job talking with somebody. It's amazing to me. I'm sorry, I'm taking so long. It's amazing to me how many people will come up and start talking about spiritual things or personal things with me. Do I look like a counselor? You know what I mean? I'm out there with a big nose, mud all over me, paint all over me. And it's amazing how many contractors or people that are working on a job will come up to me and start talking about personal things. I'm on a job out in Moxie, and the guy starts telling me how his wife's leaving him, and he's just falling apart because of it. And hey, guess what? You know how to turn that conversation of, hey, you know what? When I was hurting like this, I asked Jesus to come and help me. And he did. You can turn any conversation just as smoothly as you want to into sharing the gospel. That is everyone's calling. Everyone's calling. Sometimes you don't even have to say a word. You can just put your arm around somebody when they're hurting. The message is preached more by what you do than what you say. I want you to pray with me that our church becomes dynamic in sharing the gospel as the times get worse. Construction trade, Washington State, unemployment, 29%. Did you hear that? Construction industry, unemployment in Washington State, 29%, according to the last Business Times. We're in hard times. I got to let you go. I'm sorry. Father, thank you. God, we're the people that will make the difference. We have the goods. We have what it takes. And what people are going to need when the time becomes the darkest, they're going to need Jesus Christ. We have him. And you have called us not to just have a church where we gather and feel good and sing and enjoy the blessings of the Lord, but to take those blessings with us and share them with others. Oh, yes, we need to be developed and grown. Yeah, all that's true. But you've called us. You've equipped us. Now lead us, separate us. That of all the churches in the Lower Valley, we can be more effective in sharing the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ. We ask for that anointing. We ask you to speak to us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Go change the world. Will you do that? Praise the Lord.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.